The recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Framework of Operating Principles Cross-Community Working Group call on the 24th of May, 2016. On the call today, we have John Berard, Cheryl Langdonor, Becky Burr, and Jim Galvin. I have listed apologies from Ann Beth Lang. From staff, we have Mary Wong, Bart Boswinkle, Steve Chan, David Tate, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, John.
Thank you very much. This is John Berard. I wanted to set the stage as quickly as possible. We have, staff has, and they have then sent to each of us a review of the public comment to the initial set of recommendations. I hope that you all have had a chance to go through them at this point. Even though it's a long document, I think it probably can be boiled down to three or four points having to do with diversity and definition of consensus and decision review and the like. From a process perspective, what we would like to do based on this call today and review that might be necessary after it, come to Helsinki with a near as possible final set of recommendations that can be used as the subject for the working group meeting that we will have there. I'd like to ask Mary if you could confirm the dates and times of the steps that we'll need to take to and perhaps through Helsinki.
Sure. Hi, everybody. Thanks, John. This is Mary from staff. And between now and Helsinki, we do have a few weeks, but the idea in preparation for the open session that this group will have in Helsinki is to have at least a draft final framework document ready by Helsinki. It does not necessarily have to be signed off on with every dotted I and cross T by then by this group, but it should be a document that is at least or has at least been reviewed by this group with perhaps some comments for further changes that we can then add in together with any community feedback in Helsinki. So bearing that in mind, one thing that in discussion with the co-chairs we thought could happen is, going back to what John said, that following this call today, that we would ask members for any remaining comments or suggestions on list to have them send them by email to the list, and staff would then try to produce an updated proposed final document within the next 2 weeks or so, so say the end of the first week of June, which would then allow us to have one, possibly two, if necessary, calls before everyone leaves or prepares more in-depth for the Helsinki meeting. We were thinking of one meeting before Helsinki, keeping in mind everyone's schedule, but if we can get the document to everyone by, say, the end of the first week of June, it is possible to have two meetings or one extended meeting if that's what everyone feels is necessary, again, so that we can have that updated final document, at least in draft form, to be distributed to the community ahead of Helsinki. And then in Helsinki, the proposed scheduled time for our session, and I'm taking another look right now to make sure that we actually have not had a change made to the draft schedule, and I don't think there is. It is scheduled for the third day of the four-day meeting, so that would be Wednesday, the 29th of June, and it is scheduled for 90 minutes on that Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Helsinki time. And, of course, remote participation will be available for folks who aren't themselves in Helsinki. I think the last thing I'll note, John, is that not so much for scheduling, but as I think everyone knows, that this is not necessarily going to be the usual quote-unquote type of working group session because this is the meeting B, and the idea here is to have these open sessions like the one we're scheduled for as an open community dialogue. And again, that is why it is probably important that we at least have a draft final document for discussion and then finalization following Helsinki. Thanks, John. John, I'm not sure about everyone, but I can't hear you.
And John, this is Terry. When you re-entered the room, you'll need to reactivate your microphone. And I see it's reactivated. If you want to go ahead. Yep, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, great. excuse me. Because Becky and I were both at the Global Domains Division meeting in Amsterdam last week, which piggybacked on a meeting of the board, we had a breakfast meeting with Krista Spain and George and Teresa Swinehart. Because the board, as Becky explained it to me, had some concerns about whether we should specifically address the question of funding or financing cross-community working groups. At the meeting, it became clear to me that the concern of the board, and it's reflected in the document you have before you, is driven by their viewing cross-community working groups through the lens of the cross-community working groups on accountability and the IANA transition, which were large casting calls that required a massive amount of work in a short period of time with really high stakes and ultimately wound up costing ICANN a lot of money to support. I gave them a little bit of what I believe is our history, which is that we grew out of disappointment that some of the working cross-community working groups had failed to deliver. I was thinking specifically, made specific reference to the JAS working group, the Joint Applicant Support Working Group, and the JIG. And then there was, of course, the Vertical Integration Working Group. So it was clear that we were looking at cross-community working groups through different ends of the telescope. Having said that, there is some value, probably some sanity, in restating in our recommendations the policies for pursuing funding from ICANN that already exist. And I believe, and I will yield to Steve to correct me if I'm wrong, and Becky if she can jump in, I believe that we should do that, and we can easily do that just by cutting and pasting the language that already exists. So Steve, Becky, am I recalling that correctly? Thanks. Have I, Steve? See that Steve's hand is up.
Yeah, gardeners in the backyard are in the background, but I agree with your assessment. Thanks.
Okay, and okay, cool. And I see Jim, your hand is up.
Yeah, I guess I would appreciate, and if this is only for me, I apologize, but I'm only aware of ICANN's policy with respect to individual stakeholder and advisory committee groups. So if you or maybe just provide a pointer somewhere, somebody in the chat room there about what is the current policy with respect to funding these kinds of things. I didn't realize there's a documentation that existed explicitly about this. Thank you.
Mary, your hand is up.
Yes. Thanks, Sean, and thanks, Jim. I don't believe that there is a specific policy about funding for cross-community working groups. And John, Becky, and Steve will correct me if I'm wrong, but that may actually be part of the reason for the board's concern. So one of the things that we may need to also make clear in the final documents, one way or the other, is that most, if not all, cross-community working groups do not get special or additional funding or resources in terms of staff support or external expert selection, for example, beyond what it would be provided to a so-called regular working group that is started, say, by one of the supporting organizations. So in terms of particular cross-community working groups that might require special resources or a particular budget, then I think one of the things this group could consider is whether or not we want to put something specific in the final framework about that, something like that sort of thing should be scoped out at the latest at the drafting team phase for the charter, so that any budget approvals or special budget requests that need to go to the board, for example, can be done ahead of the actual chartering of that particular group. I don't know if that's what you were asking, Jim, or if that's what you were referring to, John, but that's my understanding. Thanks.
So I'll make a clarifying comment then, I guess. I apologize for jumping in front of you, Cheryl. I see that your hand is up too. But John, maybe I misunderstood what you said. I thought I heard you referring to the fact that there was some kind of existing policy and that we were just going to copy and paste something from elsewhere into our document. And if you could clarify, that would be helpful to me.
Right. So, Jim, this is John, and Cheryl, I beg your indulgence. That was my understanding. I was, I believed what I heard from Teresa and from George was that there is some documentation that we can rely upon. Because if we have to get in the business of writing a process by which a group requests money from ICANN, the corporation, we may be at this for another 5 years, and I really don't want to do that. I mean, so I was under the impression that there was a policy, a process that we could cut and paste. Now, I guess that's a big question that we need to get an answer to. Is there such a process or policy that we can cut and paste, or can we get away with? Well, I don't know what we can get away with. I mean, if we need to define a policy, well, that strikes me as being something that will take up all of our time in Helsinki. Now, before we continue to pursue that, though, I'd like to let Cheryl jump in so that we can hear her and then maybe give Mary and Steve and Bart an opportunity to scour the website for such a paragraph. Cheryl?
Thank you.
I'm not hearing Cheryl. Am I the only one?
No. And Cheryl, I see your line is still connected. However, we are unable to hear you. And this is Terry. I see her phone line is still connected, but I'm going to have the operator drop it and dial back out to her, so it'll be just a few moments.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Wong. I see that John has had to come back in the room. So, yeah, John, just checking that you are back and your mic is on.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here. And
And I seem to have lost John again, but I see that he has reconnected.
Yes, I'm here. I seem to be at the mercy of the vagaries of a Wi-Fi network in Orlando, Florida.
John, while Terry and the Secretariat are trying to get Cheryl's line working, maybe I could, for the record, draw the group's attention to the comments in AC chat by Bart and Steve. And apologies if I did not actually say this or make it clear in my original response to Jim and yourself. And what we would probably say is that it is not a special process that is just for cross-community working groups, that what the board and Teresa was referring to was the community budget request that is folded into each annual budget cycle. If that helps. John, are you back?
And John, just as a reminder, looks like he's rejoining. Cheryl has rejoined us on air audio. Cheryl, do you mind just saying a few words and we can just test your quality really quick? And Cheryl, I am confirming we are unable to hear you.
Well, the operator can hear me perfectly well when they ring me.
Now we hear you.
Great. Right. Whole lot of fun. I don't know why the operator can hear me and the call can't, but anyway. If I can gather my thoughts again. The reference to the budget and the behaviours of budgets and the management of budgets by chairman of chairpeople of cross-community working groups is also likely to be referencing the pilot, in inverted commas, that is going on at the moment with our Workstream 2 work, of course, on one of the costing of some significant activities with accountability. And to that end, there is a program where there is a joint board finance budget subcommittee people, leadership from the working group, and so this would not be happening only just in early days. You need to make some estimates in the chartering and pre-chartering period. But there is also a need to make some estimates in having an ongoing relationship with any exceptional expenditures. So one puts in some basic budgetary figures on expectations for the running costs of the cross-community working group. And it may be that it's that current process, which is a learn as we're going system, actually, that there's a reference to as well. Thank you.
I think I am back, but I'm not sure.
Yes, you are. We can hear you, John.
And did I come in on Cheryl pulling our fat out of the fire by suggesting that there actually was text somewhere for us to cage?
John, there is enough of a document for us to reference, albeit still a work in progress, yes.
And I see that Jim's hand is up. Do you want to jump in on that?
So thank you. Thank you, John. Yeah, I think if I understand correctly where we are, so it's not that there's anything special for cross-community working groups. It's that we do have some known opportunity funding that exists within existing stakeholder groups and advisory committees. And so the question comes up as to whether or not we should say anything special about cross-community working groups, because obviously certain very expensive things have happened in the recent past, shall we say. I want to say that I'm inclined to say two things in our document. One thing is that with respect to funding, that the default should be that when at some point in time, whoever comes to a cross-community working group and comes to the table, those individual groups, they already have funding sources that they can use. And they should choose for themselves if they want to support an attendee in a working group and they want to allocate some of their existing funding in support of their designated representative to the cross-community working group. So, you know, people get to use funding that already exists in a way that suits them. And the second thing would be to state explicitly that any other additional funding is an exceptional circumstance that needs to be evaluated in some appropriate way. And I don't know that we need to say more about that appropriate way. But if we should speak to the financial side of this, that's what I would suggest we speak to, so that we don't, John, go down the path of what you were suggesting before. I agree with you. If we try to sit down and develop any real significant process here, we're probably going to be at this for a long time. Let's just suggest we stick to what we have, and anything else is exceptional and should be dealt that way as an exception. That's my comment. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Jim. This is John. Alan, I see that your hand is up, but I really would like to find out if Becky wants to jump in on this point, because it strikes me that if we take Jim's suggestion, we would be satisfying the board concern by noting that we are talking about funding for exceptional circumstances, which I think is something that they would sign off on rather quickly. But Becky, are you in a position to comment on that? I don't see her hand. So go ahead, Alan.
You may want to let Mary go in first.
Oh, okay, Mary.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Alan. Nothing really earth-shattering from the staff side, but generally we would probably agree with the approach that Jim has suggested, and John and Becky, I believe that's probably your preference as well based on some conversations we've had. One idea for your consideration as a group is, given that we have that 90-minute session coming up in Helsinki, it may already be obvious from the document that we will circulate if we do indeed write it the way Jim has suggested, but that could be one of the subtopics that John and Becky, as you facilitate and introduce that discussion, you could highlight for community feedback as well.
Okay. Alan, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to differentiate between expenses of the form that, for instance, the recent CWG, CCWG spent on lawyers, and expenses associated with face-to-face meetings. A number of us have fought very, very hard over a number of years to get a commitment from ICANN that on with reasonable justification, working groups, and that's GNSO working groups or cross-community working groups, can have face-to-face meetings if their workload warrants it. And typically we have done that in conjunction with ICANN meetings, which now may be against the law, and we may now have to spend travel funds, too, to go to face-to-face. But nevertheless, the concept of face-to-face meetings as an adjunct to teleconferences for working groups has been accepted. So we would not want, and they have to be handled under special circumstances, but not going to the board level for it. So I think we want to segregate expenses associated with face-to-face meetings with
extraordinary expenses of the form that was of the forms that we saw in the IANA and accountability groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. This is John again. So I go back to Jim's point about the decision by an SO or AC to participate in a cross-community working group is essentially an opt-in to offering its members who are participating the same level of support that they would give them if they were in a working group that was solely the domain of any one individual SO or AC. And I suspect that that's different across all of the organizations. I think what we need to guard against for the sanctity of our recommendations and the sanity of the organization is to suggest that there is an ipso facto quality of create a cross-community working group, get funding, right? That's not what we're saying, and I don't want to say anything that would lead people to think that. But we do recognize that because the issue has drawn the attention across communities, that it may in fact warrant additional support, and here is how one can pursue that. I see, Jim, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, John. I want to explore Alan's point a little bit further here. I kind of like the distinction that he made there, and I just want to make sure we're covering all bases here. You know, I had a pretty strict, you already have funding, you can apply it to this, and otherwise it's an exceptional thing. But what's interesting is Alan brings up the point that meetings outside of the ordinary ICANN meeting, I'm sorry, let me start this differently. The SOs and ACs have funding that they can use that supports attendance at ICANN meetings. So to the extent that cross-community working group needs to meet outside of an ordinary ICANN meeting, I think it's an interesting question to ask. Would we want to treat that now as always an exceptional thing? Or Alan brings up a good point that it's already been, quote, approved, unquote, if you will, that face-to-face meetings of groups that have work that warrants it are already allowed by the board, so it doesn't have to become a board-level, special request. The policy department gets to make that decision and choose to support it. I just want to ask that question explicitly. I think that was the point that Alan was trying to make, and I want to make sure that we consider that thoroughly. Is it useful for us to draw that three-category distinction in funding, is it better that we not really get involved in that? Thank you. Did we lose John again?
Did we lose John again?
So why don't we move along here and let's just go down the speaker list and let Cheryl jump in.
Okay. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes, please.
Yay! Even with the matter of exception that can be made a rule, for example, in the case of the extraordinary activities and expenditure of the accountability work, the estimates are still made, and part of the process I was alluding to earlier, whereby we're already saying that as a matter of course in that particular cross-community working group for Workstream 2, there is an expectation of a meeting to be held usually the day before or perhaps the day after, but associated with an ICANN meeting, and that whilst Sunwing's report is normally within the gambit of if you are already travelling to the ICANN meeting and you are part of the capital M membership of that working group, that additional day's expenses would be covered. So the additional night in the hotel if it's a day earlier, etc. The additional to that, however, is the expectation and exception that some key personnel, such as the co-chairs of that group, would need to have that support, that travel support, provided and therefore predictably provided. So it's more about estimates, agreeing estimates and budgeting in this document that I'm suggesting we just refer to, than it is about hard and fast rules. But I'd also suggest that we need to remember that in the case of constituency travel funded travel support to an ICANN meeting, that quite frequently is applied to council or leadership of an AC or an SO, and they may indeed be the very last people who are actually working on the cross-community working groups. Thank you.
Has John returned? So I apologize. I'll just keep moving along here. Alan's got his hand up. So, Alan, go ahead, please.
Thank you.
I'm back.
I guess we need a little bit of clarity here. Working groups, be they cross-community or regular working groups, are expensive beasts. They involve a significant amount of staff time. They involve, at the very least, significant teleconference costs. And although ICANN doesn't pay it, they involve a lot of people, volunteer time. So they are expensive. We have never accounted for those costs. And I haven't heard, although I have heard them being included in the CCWG costs, I think for effect, we're not really talking about accounting for them in the more general case. At least I've heard no indication that we are. So we're looking at extraordinary costs over and above those that are associated with meetings that are held exclusively via teleconference. And as I said, it's been a long uphill battle to get ICANN to allocate some money for face-to-face meetings. Now, they have, in the past, until this meeting B, where some new rules were added, they have said that we're going to save a lot of travel costs by doing them in conjunction with ICANN meetings, and we have the kind of rules that Cheryl was just talking about, that we don't fund anyone for the travel, we'll only fund people who are already at the meeting anyway. And, you know, many of us can live with that, at least in the more general case. And I don't want to lose the traction that we've gotten on that philosophy by introducing the issue of what if there are other expenses associated with other activities of the working group. So I just want to make sure that we segregate those. Now, if ICANN continues to do what it's done for meeting B and saying thou shalt not have any working groups adjacent to an ICANN meeting, then they're either going back on the promise to fund face-to-face meetings for working groups on occasion, or they're committing to a much larger travel costs. I don't much care which. But I don't think we want to lose the principle in what we're putting forward. Thank you.
All right, this is John. I think I'm back. I hope I can be heard.
Okay.
And I see, Jim, you've got your hand up. But I will say, in listening to Cheryl and to Jim and to Alan, I feel a little bit less certain of what we ought to do. Jim, perhaps in your comments you can help me get some clarity.
Yes, thank you, John. I was, when I wanted to extend the conversation, I was listening to Alan talk, and he was just adding details, and I wanted to make sure that we weren't missing something. I think in general I'm going to go back to my original position. I do believe that we should say something about expenses and finances. I'll choose my words here a little bit carefully. I think that what we want to say is that, you know, the default is that SOs and ACs that are going to actively engage in a cross-community working group, since that's the context in which we're talking here, you know, they have whatever budget they have or whatever purposes they're allowed to use it for, without us trying to say whether it's an exceptional expense, a travel expense, or any other kind of thing. We simply generically say that the default is that those groups can decide for themselves if they want to allocate, you know, some of their budget in support of this cross-community working group. That other than that, anything that had any expenses or associated with the support or operation of the working group are handled according to ordinary working group rules that any other working group would have in ICANN. And whether that's exceptional or subject to some other policy that may come into existence at some point in the future or, you know, is de facto believed to exist today, I don't think we have to clarify that. We've been pretty good in our document so far, you know, just to sort of associate particular principles to guide future work without being too prescriptive. So to summarize, stick to the default of suggesting that SOs and ACs can use their own money in support of a cross-community group, and we'll have to find some nice words to offer that up, and that everything else is simply subject to ordinary working group policies within ICANN for how they're dealt with. That's what the direction I think we should go in. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. Alan, I see your hand is up. Are you okay with the approach Jim is suggesting?
Not at all. As far as I know, as ALEC chair, I have no money that I can allocate towards a working group or anything else. I have budgets that were allocated to very specific things and cannot be moved around. Maybe ESSAC is different, but my understanding of the GNSO and CCNSO is the same, that we have no money that we can choose to allocate to a working group.
All right, this is John again. Let me probe this a little bit. So ALAC members do participate in working groups.
They do.
Participate in working groups that are called either by the GNSO, you know, by the GNSO or the CCNSO. Does ALAC organize its own SO or AC working groups?
Certainly we do.
All right, and how are those funded?
Just the same way a GNSO working group is funded. We presume staff will participate in it, and somebody pays for teleconferences. It's no money that we ever see, nor do we ever see the actual dollar amounts associated with it.
No budget, no estimates, no knowledge of the expenditure.
And so this is John again. So I think that in our deliberation so far, each of us has felt exactly the same way, that a cross-community working group in which we participate is no different than a working group that we would constitute. And so however it would be handled, whether it's just the sweat equity of the participant, that is the default nature of a cross-community working group. It is just, it's a working group that is organized specifically across a number of SOs and ACs. The second piece, though, is now we are confronted with things that have been improperly, in my mind, labeled cross-community working groups that have led to extraordinary expense. And so the board comments are, can you include some language that would provide some clarity as to how additional resources...
I think we've lost John again. Or you've lost
and
me.
Confirm. John has disconnected.
Jim, you want to take the lead?
And while we're trying to...
Now we've lost Mary.
No, I'm here. I was just deferring to Jim because he has his hand up anyway.
Yeah, I was going to offer a comment, but I'm actually I'm very interested in where John was going. I kind of feeling like I want to hear the end of what he had. I'll only comment here. I think, Alan, that you and I are in a
right.
much.
Jim, I'm back. If I can put in that third point,
sure.
Please,
all right. So the third. I'm sorry about this. It's totally my fault. The third point is Alan now introducing the notion of the changing circumstance, the changing organization of the ICANN, putting unusual pressure on its legacy commitment to face-to-face meetings. And so if there will be fewer opportunities for face-to-face meetings in the normal course of events, should cross-community working groups be able to receive funds to have those face-to-face meetings? The concern I have with that, Alan, is that every SONAC is confronted with the same dilemma, so that it is not just the cross-community working group that now must find its way more often. It is every SONAC. And so I don't know why we would want to characterize ourselves as special in that regard.
It's Alan. If it's my turn up, I'll answer that, but I think Jim was first.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in a bit of a colloquy here, so if you could respond.
Okay.
Jim, you can probably.
All right. Just to be clear on allocation of money, I have full discretion to allocate any of my $0 to cross-community working groups, ALAC working groups. I can even give some of my money to GNSO working groups, all of my $0. So let's be clear, there just isn't any money that could be sub-allocated that way. The point I was making is the battle that was perhaps won, and it came out of both an ATRT review and a GNSO review, and GNSO deliberations prior to the review, was that there is merit in face-to-face meetings. Sometimes you can make better headway in a face-to-face meeting than you can on a large number of teleconferences. That has generically been accepted. It wasn't accepted specifically for GNSO meetings, although they were the example. I think a privacy proxy meeting was the first one that was held in conjunction with an ICANN meeting that they did a one-day face-to-face. The CWG, CCWG, IANA, and accountability have done a significant number of them because of the onerous nature and the time pressure that was on them. The point I was making was it has been rare in the past with only the two recent cases where there was a huge amount of money spent associated with any working group directly associated with its work. And unfortunately, because those meetings have had both large face-to-face costs and large legal costs, they have been merged into a single budget. What I was trying to say is, going forward with the future unnamed CCWG that will be formed a year and a half from now, I think it is reasonable to expect that it might need a face-to-face meeting on occasion. And that should be treated in whatever the process will be for deciding on how to hold a face-to-face meeting in conjunction with an ICANN meeting or separate, depending on whatever the modus operandi is that year. I think it is a far more onerous and larger task to say the CCWG or a CW or a regular working group, for that matter, has to spend real cash on work to be done as part of its process. Okay. Working groups in the past have recommended studies which cost ICANN huge amounts of money, but they weren't done as part of the working group itself. They were done as a next stage, so we avoided the problem. So all I'm saying is, right, as we go forward, we should differentiate between the two, because one of them is a completely reasonable expense for any hardworking working group, be it CWG or CCWG or regular working group. if we can justify it in the particular instance. And spending money on lawyers or whatever is an extraordinary thing that I think has to go through a different level of approval. And that's why I was recommending we differentiate between them in our report.
All right. Before I turn it over to Jim, you're next. Let me just ask for a little clarification. So in keeping in mind that we are creating a set of guidelines,
mm-hmm.
not specific recommendations, one of the guidelines is that it may be that a cross-community working group requires or would benefit from face-to-face meetings that might need to be underwritten by ICANN as a whole.
Sure.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
And that petitioning or requesting those funds should be done by way of some previously understood prescription. And I'll turn before Jim, but I'll go back to Mary and say, have you guys on the staff figured out if there is a previously defined prescription?
Yeah, it's Alan. Before Mary answers,
John, everyone,
we've only done this a few times.
Go ahead, Ellen.
Well, I just want I'd like to hear from the staff if they've
okay.
been able to find something that represents a previously defined prescription. Mary.
John, everyone, this is Mary from staff. I think as we noted earlier, the only policy, so to speak, is the existing budget process, which includes a specific community budget request process. And those are where specific SOs and ACs would put in budget requests for, say, face-to-face meetings or outreach efforts, et cetera. So the existing process does not preclude several chartering organizations of a CCWG from putting in a request as part of that process. Aside from that, there is none that we are aware of at this time.
Okay. All right, Jim, your turn.
Thank you, John. I want to say that actually I think we are all much more in agreement than maybe our last few statements might suggest. And in fact, Alan, I think you and I are in particular much more in agreement than might be apparent. It seems to me that the principle we're trying to adopt here is that we don't want to create new processes, but we want to explicitly call out that existing policies, you know, should be used. And I'll make a concrete suggestion here to follow up, but I think the principle here is that whatever funding and whatever money might be available to an SO and AC, or whatever policies exist for any working group at all from SOs and ACs, you know, within ICANN, the options that are available to that working group should apply to the cross-community working group, and those questions should be asked and answered during the chartering process, I would think. So we have to make some comment to that effect. I think that's being responsive to the board in the sense that we're making some kind of statement. We're not leaving it completely open-ended. And I'm struggling with trying to find the right words to state the principle, and maybe that's the hard part here. Let me be concrete about an application of the principle. ESSAC does not have any special budget money. Like ALAC and other groups, we have a set of slots to provide travel funding to members to ICANN meetings, right? Just to be very clear about that. So what I was thinking when I was saying this policy about whatever monies a group might have, it could apply them, you know, to this working group, I was imagining to myself, well, gee, if ESSAC has a member who ordinarily applies for funding to ICANN meetings, you know, maybe, and normally what we do is we have a process for each meeting that we go through to select members who get those funding slots. I can imagine ESSAC creating a new process that allows it to say, gee, you know, we're going to take this one slot that we have normally available and ensure that the one person who we're going to allocate to this working group always gets money fund, always gets funding for travel, so they can come to the meeting and do what they do. That's kind of what I had in mind specifically in terms of, you know, an SORAC allocating funding, you know, funding kind of loosely in those terms. But I was also allowing for the possibility that maybe in the future, you know, SOs and ACs may get new opportunities for new money to do different things, and they may want to support their membership participating in a cross-community working group. So I don't know if I've helped or not, John. Let me try one more time to say in one sentence what I'm proposing. I think the principle here is just that cross-community working groups are not special. They should be allowed to have applied to them whatever funding options and expense options normally exist for working groups. And I think it's appropriate for us to say that explicitly just to be responsive to the expense and finance cost of these things without developing any new policy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Alan, your hand is up.
Thank you. Just for the record, ALAC doesn't have quite the same level of flexibility that ESSAC has, and we've been fighting that battle for a while, we don't need to do that in this venue. My understanding of what the GNSO has, which is the only group other than the two recent CCWGs that have had face-to-face working group meetings that I'm aware of, my understanding of the process is the GNSO in their budget request has put in some money for face-to-face meetings, not necessarily specifying which working group it is going to apply to, but having access to some money for within the fiscal year, and then justifying why it should be used for the privacy proxy working group or whatever. The problem with cross-community working groups is we have no institutional home like a GNSO working group.
Right.
And therefore, there is no one who is routinely putting in money for such things ahead of time. And maybe we need that. Maybe ICANN needs to do a communal budget, as it does for some other things, so that if we're going to have a constant stream of CCWGs, let's presume that some of them will occasionally need a face-to-face meeting and have some base budget, you know, some budget allocation made. Right now we don't have that because there is no one who owns those groups and normally puts in budget requests. And that's something in this brave new world we're going to have to address. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. This is, again, We only have a few minutes left in the hour that I had hoped we'd be able to allocate for this call. I guess I was right to start it with the finance stuff. It's pretty much of an important and hot-button issue. I guess we should take on the responsibility ourselves of drafting the language. I certainly appreciate and understand and endorse the notion that if something rises to the level of a cross-community working group, that it probably rises to a level of importance that would merit consideration for being underwritten. And I think our recommendations at the very least should suggest that that is a possibility that should be considered. I think that we should be honest with ourselves when we're talking about the resources of each of the SOs and ACs. We're essentially talking about two things. It's the sweat equity of the volunteers who are participating and the allocation of staff resources that are otherwise given to each of the SOs and ACs. And then the third bit would be the ability to apply for, ask for additional funds. And if we can craft a paragraph or two that establishes some guidelines for when and how to do that, then I think we will have done our job without upsetting too many apple carts. The travel funding becomes an interesting phrase inside ICANN, and I'd like us not to have to get caught up in that. Because it can overwhelm everything else that we're trying to do. The other point that I had tried to, that I had wanted to get to today, and maybe it's also can be moved to an asynchronous email exchange, is this notion of monitoring the implementation of the cross-community working group recommendations. There were a number of comments from a number of different sources that wondered if there should be some persistent shadow of the cross-community working group that could be called in to either answer question or participate in a further consideration once the working group's report was sent back and accepted by the participating SOs and ACs. In my mind, I had wanted us to keep this to an hour, but I will, you know, is there anyone who wants to participate? Is there anybody who wants to jump on that right now? Jim, I think you've been flickering on and off. Are you on or are you off?
I'm still on. I apologize. Okay. I'm here.
No, I meant your hand was up and down and up and down, and so I was just curious. You want to speak at this point?
Oh, no, I'm good, thanks.
Okay. So here's what I would suggest. I would suggest that, Mary, if you and Bart can get me and Becky on the phone in the next couple of days to figure out how we want to approach these things, if we can encourage Alan and Cheryl and Jim to offer comment on the document that the staff has compiled and sent to us, I still think we're in a position to be able to make our deadlines, but I don't want to be foolish in pushing something forward that is not does not satisfy our mandate or incorporate what we collectively view as appropriate in terms of guidelines. So I realize that I probably sound a little rushed now. I apologize for that. But is everybody okay if we take that next tack, that next approach? Bueller? Alan?
Those are agree signs, not hand up.
Okay, great. Now, you know, doing this on an iPhone is interesting for someone with bad eyes, I suppose. Okay, so let's ring off now, and Mary, I'll give you a call, and we can talk about getting this stuff done.
Thanks, John. We'll work with you and Becky
right.
And send the appropriate follow-ups to the group. Thanks.
All right.
Bye,
thank you,
Evan.
All.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Kelly, the operator, if you can please stop all recordings.